KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Medicine is a business with little accountability to its customers. That's the theme of Dr. Marty McCary's new book, Unaccountable, What Hospitals Won't Tell You and How Transparency Can Revolutionize Healthcare. Marty McCary is a cancer surgeon at Johns Hopkins Hospital. He's worked with the World Health Organization to measure hospital performance. Along with Dr. Atul Gawande, he developed the official WHO checklist that Gawande describes in his book, The Checklist Manifesto. And Dr. McCary's new book, Unaccountable, is on the New York Times bestseller list already. And I can see why. I have to admit, though, picking up this book and reading it made me even more fearful about going to a doctor or a hospital because of some of the patterns that you outline in this book.
Well, patients are increasingly frustrated with a system that they cannot evaluate in the same way they evaluate any other service they pay for. And, you know, with health costs going up more and more, people are paying for health care with their own dollar. I mean, deductibles are so high, you're essentially paying out of pocket for most routine non-catastrophic care. And they're seeing that they are forced to walk in blind into a system where medical mistakes are the number three cause of death in the United States. And the Institute of Medicine report is saying that 30% of everything in healthcare is unnecessary. These are major problems.
It's kind of incomprehensible to someone from the outside to read. But in fact, you experienced this very earlier in your career. You were a third year medical student and you quit.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people get disillusioned with medicine at some point, and it could come early or late. For me, it came in my third year of medical school. It just didn't seem like the doctors I was working with were being honest with a patient. And I chose to take time off and go to the School of Public Health, where I worked with people that were, for the first time, talking about medical mistakes and the way that we don't have good mechanisms to monitor quality in healthcare, and it became a whole new science.
You know, we sort of assume when we go to the doctor, they're scientists. They're very logical people. They're trying to do the best possible practices that are out there. Yet these numbers on medical mistakes are just kind of astounding. It doesn't seem like a field that's self-correcting.
You know, I love being a doctor, taking care of cancer patients. People trust you to put a knife to their skin or tell you secrets they won't even tell their spouse within seconds of meeting you sometimes just because you're the doctor. But, you know, 46% of doctors are burned out, Ross, according to a Mayo Clinic study that just came out 3 months ago. Other studies have said the same thing. Like, you could talk to a lot of doctors and they'll tell you they don't like the pressure that's put under them to see patients, to do more procedures, the corporatization of healthcare. A lot of times docs feel like they don't own the delivery of care anymore. They feel that they're working for an enterprise where they feel disempowered. They can often tell you how to make care better and safer, but they don't feel any, they have control over it. And in any industry, when you've got 46% of your frontline providers feeling burned out, of course the quality of that service is going to be highly variable.
But Marty McCary, you also write in your book that the doctors themselves oftentimes turn a blind eye when they see colleagues who they know are not practicing medicine in the best possible way, who in fact may even be injuring their patient. Why do they?
Well, we've had a culture in medicine that, quite honestly, has not been honest about this problem. And I remember one of my professors that I really looked up to in medical school. He had heard of another surgeon doing an operation which that surgeon should not have been doing. And he just kind of looked down with sadness. There was no action. And, you know, that model, that behavior is modeled. That's how we learn to react when we see something that doesn't look right. It's very difficult for a doctor to speak up. And when we don't have good ways of policing the discipline, we just started developing ways to measure it. And oftentimes there's local politics. You know, doctors, most of doctoring is a referral business. And in any referral business, you start calling people out on things, of course, you're risking your own career.
You said business, but businesses that have the kind of failure rate documented in medicine, I don't think they'd stick around very long. I mean, what is it about this business that allows it to continue with such a high failure rate?
Well, there's giant stakeholders in this industry. Let's not fool ourselves. We've got hospitals that are sending text messages and emails to their doctors saying, if you don't do more operations by the end of the fiscal quarter, you're not going to get a giant bonus. I mean, we've got a new system now where we've got good people walking into a system that's increasingly seen as a corporate environment. You know, last year, there were a record number of mergers and acquisitions in healthcare. We are seeing the new mega hospital corporation. And I think a lot of the doctors and nurses are saying, this is not what we envisioned healthcare to be. You're seeing doctors go into concierge practice on the primary care level. That's when you pay them $1,000 or $2,000 a year. They have a small number of patients, and you have their phone number. They'll come visit you, do house calls, meet them at night. I mean, that's the way they want to practice medicine, and that's sort of a representation of the revolt of the modern system.
You're listening to Dr. Marty McCary, and his new book is called Unaccountable. It's on the New York Times bestseller list, and it's kind of a shocking look. Some of the stuff you may have heard before, but he kind of pulls it together and takes a look at the business of medicine and how it's not serving its patients all that well. And I want to get into our all hospitals and all practices like this. But, you know, at one time, couldn't remember that doctors were fearful of malpractice lawsuits because they were afraid that any kind of tiny error that they made would get them caught up in a system which might punish them financially or at least make them pay really high premiums for malpractice. Why hasn't that litigation system worked to improve medicine?
Well, most things that go on that shouldn't go on are below the radar of the malpractice lawyers. Look at the Institute of Medicine report. If we look at 30% of all healthcare in the U.S. is unnecessary, and medical mistakes are the number three cause of death in the United States. If we really believe those numbers that are put out now by our most respected bodies, most of those things are below the radar. Patients may not even know about what's happening. New England Journal of Medicine study shows that one in four patients is harmed in some way from a medical mistake. I wouldn't even know that if I were a patient, even as an informed doctor. You know, a lot of stuff is just not out there. And I think the more we now start being honest about the problem, the more we can approach it. And yeah, doctors are frustrated with the medical malpractice system. I mean, docs are getting crushed right now. I mean, they're getting crushed by premiums that are going up in their malpractice, Medicare payments going down, overhead going up, and an increased regulatory environment. I mean, for the first time we're seeing doctors say they may not even recommend it to their kids.
Maybe you've got a question for Dr. Marty McCary. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's a toll-free number, 800-289-5869. If you'd like to write to us, it's conversation@kuow.org. I just kept pulling out quotes from this book. One of them, hospitals profit from bad medical care. Really?
Well, you know, in my own field, I do pancreas transplants. And there's a procedure where we take out the pancreas, take out the key cells, and then give the patient their own cells back. So we take out the organ in the operating room, treat it, and then essentially give it back to the patient. Now, that's how I do it at Johns Hopkins, and there's a dozen centers that do it that way. Because it's very profitable, a lot of hospitals have gotten into the business, and they take the organ out, but because they can't treat the cells, they'll put it in an airplane and send it off to another city where they treat it there, and then fly the cells back and cut the patient back open again and give the – why would anyone have that done? If the only explanation is they just don't know what the options are. I'm not talking small hospitals. I'm talking UCLA, mm-hmm. talking Harvard. I mean, these are big, respected, good medical centers doing this. Now, why would a hospital administration say it's okay for you to do these two-stage operations, cutting a patient open twice, sending the organ in a jet? I mean, the cost involved when it could be done in a single procedure. I mean, these are elective procedures. They're not emergent. I mean, there's no explanation except that hospitals just don't have that transparency to make them accountable at that level.
But is there an objective body that could be making this information public that all doctors would agree with?
Well, for the first time now, the exciting thing is, Ross, we've got doctors' groups coming together to say this isn't right. And they're putting together lists of things that represent over-treatment in their own specialty. American Board of Internal Medicine, for example, has a list in their Choosing Wisely campaign that they've put out to the public and said, if you can have any one of these five things in each specialty, think twice, get a second opinion. We overdo it in these areas. We've got the heart surgeons, the largest society called the Society of Thoracic Surgeons, putting performance at the hospital level on the Consumer Reports website. Now, where you can look up and see how well your hospital does. And there's some hospitals on there with 1 out of 5 stars. And they called them, and I think they didn't even know that they were listed on the website.
Wow. Let's go to Bruce. He's listening to us today in my neighborhood of Ballard. Bruce, do you have a question for Dr. Marty Mercari?
Yes, I'm wondering how an individual develops a strategy for being a wise consumer of medical talent.
Good question.
That's a great question. In the book Unaccountable, we outline several things consumers can do. Besides on the advocacy level to demand more transparency and get involved in some of these new laws, there's websites they can go to when they're looking for the best care. There's hospitalcompare.hhs.gov, which is Medicare's website. It's got good information on it. HospitalSafetyScore.org. There's a great website Consumer Reports has called ConsumerReportsHealth.org, I believe. And ZocDoc. You know, there's a lot of private companies now that are putting consumer patient satisfaction scores, which is not a whole piece of the story, but one important thing people like to look at.
Well, in fact, you've got kind of a great story of two doctors, one of whom his patients love and they think he's the greatest guy, and another whom just terrorizes patients and leaves them traumatized after visiting with him. But it turns out the story on the kind of healthcare they deliver is quite the opposite of what you might think.
The sort of tale of two doctors is one which I enjoyed telling in the book, and actually in the Wall Street Journal article, which was funny enough, titled How to Stop Hospitals from Killing Us. That's the title the editors threw on it. I tell these stories of these doctors. You know, I've had 90% of the doctors emailing and 90% of the doctors that have emailed and called me said, you know, I've been noticing this for years, and thank you for finally speaking up about it. And then I've got 10% of doctors that have contacted me saying, you know, this doesn't happen. We don't have mistakes. We don't have problems. There are not these bad doctors out there. And that's part of the problem, is every doctor and nurse knows of somebody out there who shouldn't be practicing, but we don't have a culture where we can be honest about the problem. And, you know, a lot of patients just want honesty. They don't want a perfect system. They're okay with me being human as a doctor. I ordered a test, and the CAT scan ended up being done on the wrong patient. And as soon as I found out about it, I went to the patient and said, I'm sorry, this was a mistake. You know, they thanked me with this sense of an increased bond of trust now between us. And I think people are hungry for honesty.
That's something that you reported, but you point out, you ask, can the public trust self-reported data? If this is coming from the doctors themselves, how do we know they're going to be honest with the public so we'll get a good evaluation of their performance?
Well, hospitals, it's very difficult for hospitals to misreport their data with every passing year. People in the hospital now are vigilant about mistakes, and they know what needs to be reported. But yeah, you know, we've got, Ross, this law called Sarbanes-Oxley in business, which means a CEO is accountable for their company. If they misreport their earnings, they go to jail. If a hospital misreports their infection rates, there's no Sarbanes-Oxley. There's no accountability for that. Hmm. We need more accountability in healthcare.
Will that change with the Affordable Care Act?
They took several good steps. The Affordable Care Act, look, even the authors know that it wasn't perfect. It was sort of the best available option at the moment, in their opinion. It took some steps towards transparency, but not enough. And it didn't fix the so-called doctor pay problem. You know, docs are burned out, and if the pay is going to get slashed by 20%, which is what's scheduled as a part of an old law, if we don't find a way to pay doctors, the burnout rate's going to be worse.
Now, don't some health maintenance organizations, though, kind of invert these incentives to do more medical procedures, which kind of takes us down the path to bad care? Don't they kind of value the health of the patient above just performing more procedures and more procedures?
That's the exciting thing. Right now, we're seeing the Cleveland Clinic, Kaiser, Mayo, Columbia HCA putting performance metrics on how much the doctors, tying it to how much the doctors make, and even the hospital administrators. So the healthier their patients are, the more they're rewarded. And that's the way everyone agrees it should be. You know, we shouldn't be just purely based on volume.
Now, does the Affordable Care Act make that conversion?
Absolutely. And it rewards hospitals for having lower readmission rates, lower infection rates, and it gets more stuff out there. But we need more disclosures.
How do you make sure that your whole thing here is transparency, so people know how hospitals perform, know how doctors perform? Can the information, the raw information, be misleading? Perhaps a doctor has bad outcomes because she cares for sicker patients. How do we take into account these variables?
Well, I think doctors have been right. We have been right to object to transparency for a long time because the information can be misleading to the public. As someone who takes care of very complicated patients at Johns Hopkins, where these are some rare cases and everybody else has told these patients your tumor's inoperable, and we take on a case and we know it's high risk, if we make the bad data transparent without good risk adjustment, we'll punish the doctors that take on the high-risk cases and reward those that are just discriminating against patients. So for the first time, the doctors' groups have adjusted how complex and how high-risk the patients are at different hospitals in their formulas, and now we've got these doctor-endorsed ways to measure quality that appropriately adjust for how risky the cases are. That's the exciting thing. It's doctor-endorsed, doctor-led, and it's a doctor-driven way to measure healthcare quality.
You know, you've mentioned the Affordable Care Act put some responsibility there. Some doctors' groups are doing this. Some institutions are doing this. But, you know, when everyone's responsible, sometimes no one's responsible. Does there need to be some sort of centralized authority, maybe the doctors themselves and their own associations, that make sure this gets done?
Absolutely. And the doctors are stepping up to the job. They are saying, if there's going to be transparency, we want to define what the metrics are. You know, doctors increasingly feel that they are like tenants and their hospitals are the landlords. And that's not a good relationship. No one in the history of the world's ever washed a rental car because they don't own it. And when the workers and the front lines of any industry don't feel that they own the delivery of service, you're going to have dangerous things happening. And that, I think, is one of the great problems in American healthcare now. Doctors and nurses are describing a growing divide between the frontline workers and those that are making the decisions.
So, you know, we think of doctors as being the sort of crucial people in charge, in control, and you're describing them as kind of tenants in hospitals. It's hospitals that are kind of forcing them to do these things in these ways.
Yeah, a lot of these principles, I think, cross over to any industry. If you talk to people at a company and ask them, how's it going? You'll get a different answer than if you ask the CEO. And it turns out those on the front lines are more in tune with the health of a company and its future. Same with healthcare. We've got tremendous local wisdom by doctors and nurses, but yet they often feel that their input is not solicited and that their voice is not even heard. That is a dangerous trend in America.
Well, it's an alarming book, but we do see some positive signs, some of which you've mentioned. The fact that getting doctors and health professionals to clean their hands was so difficult. Now that's there are procedures to do that. The checklists, which you participated in drawing up, make these protocols clearer and more easy to follow. I mean, at the end of the day, notwithstanding the criticism that you have in this book, are you hopeful about it changing?
I am. You know, we've got 200 national registries of healthcare in the U.S., 200 different databases that monitor hospital performance. Yet right now, only three of them make their data available to the public. Most of them are even taxpayer funded. We're going to see a transparency revolution that's going to say, hey, if the data's out there, we want to see it. 60% of people will look up a restaurant's ratings before they go there for the first time. Why can't you look up a hospital's track record?
Yelp for healthcare. Dr. Marty McCary, thank you so much for coming by. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Ross.
The new book is called Unaccountable, What Hospitals Won't Tell You and How Transparency Can Revolutionize Healthcare. It's a terrific read, although a scary read. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.